going on there, DEFCON 16?
Come on, let's
hear it. Come on.
We need some audience participation. Get some shirts.
Get the hands up. Come on.
Come on.
Hey, listen. Yeah, let's hear it. Woo! Hey, a couple shout-outs real quick. We want to obviously thank DEFCON for having us up here, specifically DT. It's been a long time, but we finally made it up here. Appreciate you guys having us. Great party yesterday. Had a number of interesting events happen, so obviously Las Vegas, what happens here stays here. Here's what we're going to talk about, guys. We're going to talk about some cool stuff that's coming out and some tools release, talking specifically about what we can do around SQL injection. We're going to talk a little bit about how we're able to bypass AV and do some uploads to some packets and put some tools up on the server and see us compromise some stuff. Great talk before us. We're going to introduce the panel here, if we can. I'm Ken Stasiak. We're all from SecureState. Next to me is Dave Kennedy, Relic, author of Fast Track. Fast Track, anybody use it? In Backtrack?
All right.
We're going to show it.
People.
They haven't used it before. We're going to show it. Obviously, Dave's got a number of years of experience. He's good at automating the security process and putting things in place to allow us to efficiently do our job. Next to him is, I'm going to go in order here. We got Scott White here. Scott, his expertise is web application security. We're going to see a lot of what he's brought through with his SA exploiter. And then we have Andrew Weidenheimer. His expertise is obviously network and staying off the list. If you guys know what the list is?
No.
What's the web?
No.
Say it, dude.
What's the web? Full disclosure there. Andrew wants to stay off that list. So if you're interested in that, come see Andrew.
Keep me off that list.
All right, we're going to go talk about a case study here. And as I said, you know, SecureState, we're an information security company based in Cleveland, Ohio. What we do is ethical pen testing. So what you're going to find is we do about 120 different pen tests a year for different clients, ranging from government all the way to commercial. In this specific example, we brought a Fortune 100 organization, and through the course of hacking into the organization, we've developed some tools that we thought would be pretty cool to release. And we're going to actually be demoing those tools and releasing them at the end of this presentation. The case study is going to actually walk through how we use those tools, how we developed them, and then specifically what you can do to use those ethically in your own course of penetration testing. All right, when we do the demonstrations and testings, the first case study is going to walk pretty quickly through the tools. We've seen a number of different presentations, and what we like is when we can do some high-end, fast demonstration of the tools, and then if you're interested at the end, getting more in-depth and more detail to the tools themselves, we can actually go through that. And then at the end, if you haven't seen Fast Track, we're actually going to do a wrap-up and show some Fast Track with Backtrack embedded in that, obviously. What else we got there? One more slide. Has anybody saw the topic with Kurt? A great topic at NTLM is dead, and we had literally hours of fun talking about the Squirtle and the way that we were using it. So I want to just give props out to that. Awesome presentation from Kurt. And without further ado, we're going to start the live demonstration. Thank you.
That was great. Hey guys, how's it going?
Cool.
Gotta love the ads here. There it is. All right.
Pick one.
All right. Got it. All right. So a whole point of this presentation was to kind of go over what we were doing for a Fortune 100 company. And, you know, SQL injection attacks aren't really a new topic for most cases, but we did some new interesting twists here that we're going to release at DEF CON that were pretty interesting for us to do. And what we're going to do is I'm going to kind of walk through each one of the tools that we used, how we did it, how we got around certain challenges. You know, we're going to go through and see that we get picked up by AV. We're going to go ahead and bypass that. It's pretty much trivial for you guys to know to bypass any type of AV nowadays. So we're going to walk through all that good stuff. So without further ado, I'll kind of load up the site here that we had. So we got a site here that we found, and what we ended up doing was, you know, the first thing we go after when we do penetration tests are we start looking at web application layers, because web applications are generally the pretty easy way to bypass into systems. A lot of companies invest in firewalls and all that great stuff, so, you know, our most avenue of attack is through the web application layer. And so what we did was we started looking through different web apps and identified some SQL injection. And, you know, for those, I mean, SQL injection, some simple stuff here. You know, hey, it blows up. We got some SQL injection here. We know we're good. We know it's there. So from there, we decided that we were going to see if it's running under DBO or SA, and it was. And from there, we decided to start going and attacking the underlying operating system.
How many of you out there have heard of XP Command Shell? Just a few. I'm disappointed in you guys. What we're taking a look at here is the SA exploiter. Started this probably a year ago to help automate SQL injection full compromises through XP Command Shell. Once we've identified that a web server is or the SQL server is executing queries under term with excessive privileges, what we do is this tool just automates typing. This thing is a string generator. What we're going to do is we're going to take this to deliver our payload. What's our payload going to be, Dave?
Some nice Metasploit shellcode right here.
Anybody ever heard of Metasploit? What's that? Mutt has. So a little copy and paste. You can do Control C, Control V. You're elite. Click that little format shellcode button, make some pretty things over there. Use that binary payload checkbox. Generate our injection string. Ooh, that looks pretty complicated too. So Dave, then what do we do? We copy that, right? Some more Control C, Control V. And what was our Metasploit shellcode that we had there?
Metasploit shellcode was just a reverse TCP shell that we used for Metasploit, and copy and paste it. And what's unique about this, and we'll get more into detail once we start talking into individual tools, but we successfully figured out a way to bypass the 64K bit limit through debug. So it's a nice interesting thing that we'll be showing you guys here in a second, but we'll do that more in depth here.
So basically it's a Windows reverse shell straight off of Metasploit.com. Copy, paste, click a button, check a checkbox, click generate, copy, paste. Put something in for the password, say go.
Waiting.
This part's a dead time, so I think I'm gonna start taking my clothes off here, right? wait, were you guys cheering for the shirt or taking my clothes off? I couldn't tell.
Don't do that.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah. There's the shell.
Shell number one. Anybody see that? That was an elite hack. Control C, Control V. Hard, huh?
All right, so in this pen test, what we did first was we created a custom reverse TCP shell using assembly. And what we did was when we injected it into our system that we're trying to attack, it was getting picked up by AV. And we'll go ahead and demonstrate that real quick.
Not to mention, when we deliver our payload, there are no egress connections. We don't use TFTP, FTP, anything like that, and I'll talk about that later. So we can be dropping our Trojan or our Keylogger or whatever it might be onto the server, and it never connects back to us. I mean, we showed that it could, but the payload delivery method is not required to do that. Okay, so what we did here is we have our custom custom EXE down at the bottom. We need to change the syntax.
That's right, thanks.
So basically, we can deliver any custom EXE we want, along with Metasploit shellcode. So I leave the options on this tool up to you. Whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter. I mean, Metasploit or, you know, I don't know what you want to do, what your goal is. Different pen tests have different things that our clients want. So we leave that in your hands. So this is a custom reverse shell.
And AVG is up to date. As you can see, the signature is right here. It was updated today, 8:10 at 1:49 p.m. So we're all up to date. I just couldn't connect to the connection manager. So right now we're going through and trying to deliver our payload. Right now it's dropping onto the system, and we'll show you detailed steps on how it's doing all that, but just kind of walk through it. And as it's going through, just waiting for it to execute. It takes a while. And we also have our command shell running here.
Netcat.
Netcat, yeah. I don't think I actually had it run there. Actually had a connection there. So AV didn't pick it up.
Did you use the right AFC?
I'll just use it right now. That's cool.
Just go back over to the tab and browse again.
Yep.
So here we go. Some more hard stuff. You can point, click a button, browse, find your own executable. That's about all you have to know. Again, that ultra elite copy and paste.
All right, so right now we're delivering it. We got Netcat listening, and hopefully AVG picks it up here. And we'll scan it too while we're waiting here, just to show you that it should be picked up. So you can see here it does detect a malware infection found one. And for some reason, it's not getting detected on the other side. But anyways, most instances, it will get detected by AVG. For some reason, it's not picking it up. We'll go ahead and just manually scan this thing real quick.
So during this case study, during this pen test...
Hey, that's great.
We were getting flagged by antivirus. So... if you guys were getting flagged by antivirus, what would you do?
Or you could just use a tool that we developed to get around it. And so what we did was we figured we took all the antivirus signatures out there, like AVG, Symantec, McAfee, NOT32, Kaspersky, and we created a smart database out of it. And through there, what we do is we look at what antivirus signatures are flagging on a specific binary. It's actually looking at what antivirus is detecting, and then it makes changes to that binary and automatically rewrites it for you to completely bypass it. And it starts off very simple, just looking at instructions, looking at different characters that it might go. And if it fails, it keeps going further and further until it does a custom packer or various encryptions. So what we ended up doing from that perspective is this tool that we're going to be releasing, it goes through and automatically detects that. And I'll go ahead and show you that right now.
Generally, when we do our pen tests, we don't use automated tools. Well, I mean, we do use automated tools, but for a lot of times, we find that writing our own is a lot easier.
So we go into this tainted folder here. You can see we got Netcat, we got pwdump, and we got our custom reverse shell here. So we're going to look at this reverse shell. We're going to scan it with AVG. That pops up as infected. We do the same thing with pwdump. Infection... And then we got Netcat.
Thank you, AVG, for flagging a very legitimate tool. Ha ha.
Netcat's taken. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our tool, and really it's a brute forcer. I mean, we're looking at what AVG's flagging, and we keep trying different patterns. So what do we got to get around right now? NOT32 is still currently untested, but right now we got Symantec, McAfee, and AVG in there. Since we have AVG on the system here, we're going to go ahead and run that. So you select AVG, and what are we going to do? We're going to do the reverse shell. Hit 1. It's looking for instruction signatures, and if you look at what it's going to find, and you see the instructions found, it found that AVG is specifically flagging on the offset 0040015A. So it's automatically going to recommend to you to change it to get past it. So do you want us to redo the actual binary itself? Sure. Yes. Copied. Done.
Again, another one of those extremely hard things to do. Can you type numbers?
All right, so scan with ABG. See here, no viruses came back.
How about that? Like I said, we're all about automating. At the end, you're going to see the big one.
So now that we've successfully bypassed it, we go ahead and deliver our payload like you saw before, getting a reverse command shell to the system. Now what we're going to do is, since we are talking about malicious code being on the system, you know, what we had to do was into the client was go on there and say, well, hey, how do I go on here and look at what's going on? So we're going to go ahead and execute our command shell again through Automator. And we'll walk through all the functions, but I mean, you can do things like turn on XP command shell if it's disabled.
Yeah, we'll take a more in-depth look at this later.
Right.
So the client really wanted to know, you know, if we were breached, walk us through what you do to find it. They didn't understand, and they had no idea where to start. So we helped them out with this. And while Dave's getting it set up here, they really wanted to understand to really push it to the upper level execs, you know, what can be done, what we're able to do, and also educate them at the same time. Very important during pen tests is the knowledge transfer. So our clients understand, you know, what we're doing, what the importance of it is, and if they can do Control C, Control V, they can do the same thing.
So we're just going to wait for the established connection to hit again. And then on this side, we're going to go ahead and get our tools ready. Now we've created a new tool called DLL Spy that looks at what DLL is being used. It's actually pretty simple. But what we're going to do is just look at very high level of what we'd be doing. So now we got a command shell again. We have established connection. So what's the first thing someone's going to do netstat? So you can see we got a TCP established to this person on 4444. All right, great. Let's take a peek at what's going on in TCP view. All right, looks good. Standard. This is kind of interesting. System process 0. Okay. It's kind of weird. So what we're going to do is local open process explorer and try to look at that process. Huh, it's not showing up. It's weird. If you look here, how many command shells do I have open here? I have one. Showing I have two open. It's kind of strange. So that looks legit. Well, this is going to command.exe. That's kind of weirdness. It's hooking into moo.exe. So there we go. We got something weird. So we can do DLL spy. Browse that directory.
You ever heard of a legit Windows program called Moo?
So we see it's using a bunch of different types of DLLs, and in those we have a lot of network sockets. We got a bunch of different things that it's connecting to. So we know for sure this is probably our malicious code. So being able to detect it, good, great stuff. Fine. All right, let's go into the actual features itself of this tool. And FastTrack itself, when we go into FastTrack itself, it really is an automated way of breaking into SQL injection. What you guys will see is we can automatically scan subnets, crawl websites, look for SQL injection, automatically attack it, try fuzzing, they actually bypass, you know, and do string completion on SQL injection, automatically give you some really cool stuff, including some reverse GUIs that we'll demo. But we're going to get into Scott's tool here. He's going to go through each one of these, kind of walk you through what you're doing.
All right, so we're going to take a look at the SA exploiter here. First of all, There was a lot of goals within this tool. We'll talk about those. But the current state of SQL injection tools, I really don't like it. Got all these tools out there. Everybody says they work. Most of them don't. Everything automates it for you. Well, there's more to it than point and click. This tool is made specifically for exploiting Microsoft SQL servers running under SA or those privileges DBO, as some of you may know. It kind of made me mad with all these tools. I don't let all these things that, you know, we're going to automate SQL injection. We're going to do that. It does everything for you. Well, a lot of the things, I mean, my tool collection is rather small for SQL. I choose to do it manually because I find that's a lot better, and that this tool is geared towards that. I would like to mention SQL Ninja. It is probably one of the best ones out there. Unfortunately, for beginners or script kiddies, whatever you might call yourself, it's only for Linux. It's a command line. It has features like file transfer, and it doesn't. It uses netcat to do that. What's wrong with that? What if we have egress filtering? That's going to be a problem. I still want to get my stuff up there. I find something that's going to stop me, I'm going to get around it. So hackers are persistent.
SQL man. And plus, you know, netcat also gets flagged by 90% of the antiviruses out there as well. So when you're dropping netcat on there, good stuff.
So like I said, most tools try to automate things. I still believe manual is the way to go. You have more control over what you're doing, not as noisy, things like that. After doing a whole lot of typing, like I said, this is why the tool came out. The tool that you're looking at is a string generator. That's all it is. We just generate the ancient string. That's the main function of this tool. Why is it nice? We don't have to remember all the SQL syntax. There's obviously a lot in there, and not everybody's an expert in every area. My original plans were to do everything in SQL Server on memory. Microsoft has some nice limitations. For example, you can have up to an 8,000 character string literal, and that's it. So why is that an issue? You can obviously see that we have a whole bunch of other things on here. So ran into some roadblocks, went back to square one, and changed the plans. There's a lot of issues with double and triple nested single and double quotes, things like that. Again, why we want to be all manual. A few of the requirements when I was writing this tool, we are ethical pen testers. Our requirements are a lot more stringent than your malicious hackers. With our databases and our attacks, generally our clients, if we're doing this in a production world, they want to, you know, they want to keep the integrity of their database. So what's that mean? That means as a pen tester, I cannot update, delete, modify any kind of data. You have to create stored procedures or tables or things like that for a lot of the known ways that are out there. So I said, oh, we're not going to do that. So a couple of the requirements. Absolutely must not require an egress connection using FTP or TFTP. Why? Well, that's a known way that people do it, and we want to be better than that. It must be easy to use. We already showed you. If you can do Control-C, copy-paste, you can do it. Within Windows Debug, we already talked about that, you can convert hexadecimal stuff to binary. Like Dave said, we have a 64K limit with that. How many people knew that? Not very many. Who likes limits? Not me. 64K? No longer. We're going to show you how to get around that today. So our file transfer, so long, Windows Debug.
And generally when you're attacking systems, you know, generally when someone compromises a system, they throw a stager on there, which, you know, does a get to more files or does some sort of file transfer like SQL Ninja does for, you know, file transfers back and forth via netcat. With this new attack, we don't have to do any type of things like that. It's not using any type of egress connections or file transfers. We do it all through SQL, so it's pretty slick.
Like I said before, everything, I like to leave the options in your hands. I don't like these tools that go out there and do something and I have no idea what it's doing. So all the options on here are for your convenience. Things like Metasploit, we have all that shellcode out there, or the shellcode generator. I don't care what you do. I'd leave that option up to you. We have Metasploit out there, so let's utilize it. So I did. What we're going to talk about next is how we actually transfer our payload over. This is a new technique that, to my knowledge, nobody else has done, and this helps us bypass that 64K limit. Pretty much what we do is we're going to use Windows Debug to transfer over a small executable. It was about 5K. And we're going to use Windows Debug to put that over there. Pretty much you echo hexadecimal representation of my custom file that I wrote, and we're going to get that over there, and we're going to have a custom binary over on the system that's 5K. What does that do? It's a hex to binary converter. What's that mean? What we can do now is echo as much hexadecimal stuff we want to into a text file, tell it to go at it, and it'll convert all that to binary. But there's no limitations. We don't have that 64K limitation. So, first thing we're going to do is echo text into that text file, use Windows Debug to get our custom converter over there. We're going to echo the custom, or excuse me, our hex values for our payload, whatever it is, whether it's your custom Trojan or your Metasploit code. Pretty much we just put Metasploit code in an exe stub and a wrapper. And whatever it is, we're gonna echo that hex over into the text file. We use our custom converter to convert it, and then we can execute it, do whatever we want. So let's show this. We're going to use Metasploit shellcode. Again, copy paste, format shellcode. Just preps it for me.
You can use with anything you want, any custom binary, interpreter VNC inject, Metasploit VNC inject, the interpreter console, anything you want to at this point. So again, there's no limit. I mean, if you want to upload 2 gigs, it might take an hour for it to compile it back to an executable, but at this point, there's no limit.
Yeah, and these colors are a little off for some reason. They don't look like this normally. So we want to use the checkbox here, use binary payload, because we did that over here. And we're going to say generate. And we can see that there's a lot of stuff going on here. Basically, all we're doing is piggybacking commands onto the SQL server. A whole bunch of them in a row. We really don't care how long it takes, because it's all going to be queued up.
And what Scott's demonstrating now is the post method. Obviously, if you're using get, you're going to have to split this up a bit. When we show fast track, it does automatically detect if using post get and splits it up into chunks so that you can get around any post or get restrictions.
Sorry, not a Mac user.
So your loss.
So we have a reverse shell code here. And we need to get netcat listening. Which okay, so now we have netcat listening. Say go.
If you look over here on our server, I mean, it's going to spike up quite a bit. So now we're using 100% CPU, and that's when it's doing the debug conversion, as well as when it's taking all of that hexadecimal code and converting it back into binary.
and there's the shell for us. So copy and paste Metasploit shell code, SQL injection, it's up to you. To my knowledge, no other tool can do this. SQL Ninja can do interpreter and VNC DLL injection, but to my knowledge, nobody else can do this. So that's how you do it with Metasploit shellcode. Now we're going to show you how to do it with custom EXE. Okay, this is our custom this is our custom reverse shell that we wrote. Use binary payload generate. Need to add a port and an IP address. And we say go. And our server is converting it. Sometimes depending upon the size of your payload, it can take up to 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, if you put a huge file up there, that's going to be a lot of I/O for the system to do. So, whether we use Metasploit shellcode or your own custom EXE, this is, shows you pretty much what the capabilities are. There's other options within the tool. These ones are pretty much well known. We have options to turn on XP command shell. If you believe it's turned off, we can add a local user account, pretty much automate a lot of things we might want to do, disable firewalls and antivirus. We can connect back via FTP, pretty much automates SQL injection running under SA. The main features that we wanted to show you, though, was the Metasploit shellcode and the binary payload transfer. There's other options to it as well. The blind fuzz list generator. If we have things being displayed back to the screen, we're not really sure what the different types of data are that are being presented back. Basically, it's just going to generate a fuzz list with different types, and you can put that through like WebScrib through the fuzzer in there and go through and see when you get correct data back. Pretty much we're just automating it. There is an auto exploit option if you have it in the GET request. Depending upon the web server, most of the GET requests are going to have limitations for how long they're going to be. So that's going to be, you're going to have to split up your injection, which could be very long as we can see here. And Dave and Andrew will talk about that later. All right, so that's the SA exploiter. Towards the end of the presentation, we'll let you know where you can get that, and it'll be available to download to use ethically in your own pen tests. So.
All right, who wants to see some really crazy stuff right now? Let's wake you guys up. Come on. All right, so for you guys that don't know Fast Track, really what it was I decided to learn Python a while back, and I was more of a C-sharp guy. And thanks to Mutz, I wish I didn't learn Python because my wife hates me and I'm up coding at late nights of the hour. So special thanks to him for that. But what Fast Track is I really try to automate a lot of different types of attacks out there and some unique ones. I originally came up with the attack for mass client attack using Metasploit, now Egypt from... Metasploit has now created the autopwn feature for that. So there's a lot of different types of attacks out there that you can do with Fast Track. Specifically, the one that we're going to do here, I mean, what you just saw on Scott's tool, we took that one step further and really automated pretty crazy stuff. So what we're going to do and what you're going to see is we're going to scan a subnet for web servers, looking for, you know, web servers out there. It's automatically going to identify them, crawl them, look through the whole website, and look at every form parameter, trying to see if it can, you know, get a correct SQL syntax. We can do both error and blind-based SQL injection, automatically inject, and get us some reverse shells and some reverse GUIs. Here's a syntax. I also built a front-end web server for it, so that you know, for you guys that just want to point and click, we can also do that, and I'll show that towards a little bit later. But as we're seeing here, we're running fast track. We're running the SQL Pwnage on it. We're going to crawl the site using blind-based SQL injection, or I'm sorry, error-based SQL injection. We'll demo error-based here in a few. That's the IP address we're attacking, and you know, we're using a Metasploit VNC inject using the Shikadi Gay Nai encoding. Does anybody know what that stands for in Japanese? There is no hope. Aaron Mutz gets a T-shirt. And we do a little bit more different things here. So once we're calling the site, and once we identify form parameters, we automatically start attacking them. If we're not running under SQL SA, we automatically try to elevate our privileges. We turn on XP command shell if it's disabled. We turn off DEP, a bunch of various other things that we try to do. And Andrew, you want to explain what it's doing here?
So basically right now, it's as you guys can see, it's crawling the website that he entered. Right now, we're actually looking for the href tags inside the HTML. Some of you are probably wondering what happens if you have URLs embedded in JavaScript. Right now, we don't have that functionality added. Before we release the final version, we will add that. Keep in mind that this tool is in beta version. So when we release it to the fast track, we're expecting a lot of feedback. We're expecting bugs. So we need that feedback, because before we release the final version, we want to make sure that it, you know, we get everything worked out. So right now it's crawling the entire website, looking for every single URL that's branched off the website.
Originally we were going to do the NSA.gov, but we thought we'd get a lot of lot of trouble for that, so we decided not to do it as far as a fake website. But right now we're just doing a fake website that we created.
And keep in mind that if you're scanning a website such as like WebShots or something like that, some huge ass website, we actually allow you to put a depth parameter in our spider. So if you don't want it to take 2 or 3 days to spider your entire website, you can add a depth parameter of 2. You know, it'll take, you know, 15, 20 minutes. You won't get the entire website, but you know, if that's what you're looking for and you don't want to take a long time, we give you that option.
And just finishing up here, we decided to do a very long site for some reason that would, you know, allow a lot of dead time in the middle of a presentation. So
so who wants a T-shirt?
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, you only get one. There's only one per person here. Hey, nice hand.
Yeah, there we go.
So it's still crawling again. It's going to take some time depending on how large the website is. Again, you're going to want to manipulate the depth parameter a little bit to speed things up.
And at this point, we don't really have to do anything. I mean, we just let it run. Right, and it's going to do everything, attack it, try to finish the strings for you, and do everything else to that effect.
And as Scott said, he likes to do the manual attacks. I really don't. I'm lazy. As much as I can automate shit, that's what I'm going to do. I created this tool, or Dave and I both created this tool. You put in the URL, you let it go. If it finds SQL injection, you want to exploit, yes, you got a shell. So
as you can see here, we found a SQL exception and text password, and after this, it flies off the seat of your pants. It's automatically elevating our privileges to SA, if not already. It's turning off DEP. It's you know, enabling SP command shell, and then here we're using a GET request. So what we did was, it's all dynamic. So regardless of what payload you put in there, if it's 10 megs, it's automatically going to split it up into chunks so that it does get onto the server using GET request. So as you can see here, we're taking our 64K debug bypass, the hex to binary payload that we initially used in Scott's talk, and we're going through and chunking it up into 4 different chunks.
And there's a custom text file that. Right now we have the different SQL injection parameters, so, you know, like a single quote, maybe a single quote admin, but that's totally customizable. Whatever you guys feel that, you know, to identify SQL injection, you can add it to that file.
I can make this go back quicker.
So right now what's happened basically is it found the URL that has SQL injection on it. It's delivering our Windows debug bypass payload. Once it gets on the server, it's going to compile it, and then we can actually pretty much deliver any payload that you guys want. Right now we actually have three custom ones inside this module. We have the VNC inject, Metasploit interpreter, and then our customized reverse shell. But again, it's totally customizable. You can put any payload in there you want. It may take some time, but so it launches the next term window right now.
And what we're doing is we're injecting the interpreter inject right now. So if you guys are familiar with interpreter and Metasploit, pretty nice way to use it. Do pretty much whatever you want to at this point. So because here we got it.
Let's hear it for that shell.
So again, this is a completely automated tool. Dave and I developed this tool with the mindset we wanted to be as automated as possible, as script kiddie as possible. CISO can run this tool if he wants to, whatever it is. Basically, again, you type in URL or a subnet. If we use a subnet option, basically you have the option to, you know, to put in a class C or whatever it is. And then what we'll do is actually go through the entire class C looking for web servers. After it finds the web servers, it will present the user with the list. The user then has one or two options. It can actually scan the entire list that it found. So if you know you put a class B in there and it finds 500 web servers, then obviously you can go through each single one and it will scan them, look for SQL injection, finds it, will allow you to exploit it. So those are basically two options: scan a subnet or single URL.
And right here we're going to do the actual GUI itself, so we'll get a nice little graphical user interface in the back end. The reason why we wanted to release the Windows GUI is because we know everybody at DEF CON uses Windows, so we wanted to release a nice tool for that. I'm so getting beat up at the
moment. I wonder how many people you just offended. So really what we did, we didn't invent the wheel. We know we're using a known exploit, but what we did do is something what we think is pretty cool, something that we haven't seen yet. I mean, again, completely automated, no manual techniques, and honestly, it will find SQL injection.
Hey, guys, let's give it up. Did you see that? What do we have here, Dave?
Nice command, Sean. You see, I'm not switching over anything. This is the window right here for the actual one, and this is the actual VNC, as you can see up here.
Full remote desktop, automated. Does it get any easier than that?
For those of you that listen to or know Lolcats, I've been having a little Lolcats moment there, so eyes been pwned, oh knows. So.
And I think what we forgot to mention too, when it finds SQL injection, the way it's doing it is obviously it's injecting the form parameters, submitting. If it comes back with a SQL error message, you know, like SQL ODBC message or something like that, we're using regular expressions on that page to find SQL injection.
So for those of you that want to use a web interface like Metasploit, you got SQL components right here. You got blind-based, error-based, whatever you want to do. We won't go through the blind-based because that's going to really put some dead time in. What we're thinking about doing is adding time-based attacks in so that we can actually validate that the blind SQL injection is working properly. At that point, it would initiate the attacks at that point. So that should be hopefully put into the next release there. But as of right now, it just kind of really brute forces blind SQL at that point, trying to look for anything that's shot in the dark.
And before we release the final version, right now it currently can't do HTTPS or SSL, obviously. So we'll add that in before the final version, and we're actually going to add in a login functionality. So if the page has a login, you have credentials, and you want to continue spidering after you're an authenticated user, we'll add that in as well.
So all I did was I entered all my stuff in. It spidered it, found a single website. It's going to go ahead and automatically crawl it and go through all the various things like that. Once we finish the crawling, it's going to go through and do everything that we did. And as you can see, that is through the web interface. So, you know, it has a bunch of different options you can use as interactive mode, where it's kind of like a menu-driven. It has the command line mode, so you guys can script it. And obviously the web GUI mode. All right, so we showed those two real quick, and what's going on with Fast Track. I'll show you guys now the AVE and what we're doing. We'll go pretty simple at this point. We lost our reverse engineer, John Melvin. If you saw, he was supposed to be on this topic. He's unfortunately getting married, so didn't make it to DEF CON. So I'll try to keep a spot here. All right, so a lot of antivirus signatures out there are really pretty basic in all forms. They look for specific things in files to flag on, and those are what you see on the signatures. We did a review on NOD 32 that we completely destroyed it and went through it. I mean, there's really nothing out there at this point that's really getting past it. So, I mean, it's pretty trivial at this point to bypass it. So what we wanted to do was create a tool that automated it for us so that when we're doing a pen test, we get nailed by AV, we write a custom payload, it automatically rewrites it for us. So I'll show you what it's doing and how we're doing it. So if you look in our folder here, we got a folder here called Tainted. And those are the ones that it's getting flagged on. So you got the reverse shell, pwdump, and netcat, which we won't do pwdump since it's not getting flagged. But like pwdump, for example, AVG was looking for like, you know, certain characters like password. So all you need to really do for that to bypass it is change all the S's with dollar signs. Wow. You know, so I mean, it shows you how really basic these are. But what we'll do is I'll load up this into Ali real quick. We'll load our tainted reverse shell that gets blasted. And this error right here means that it's already packed. And in most cases, you know, this is the type of error you're going to get when there's a packed binary. So from here, the first signal it's doing, and especially in a packer, is it's jumping to a specific address. So we're going to go to that address that it's jumping to. And we see these two flags here. Now, our tool, what it looks for is what specifically is AV flagging on? Why is it stopping it? So in antivirus, it's specifically stopping these two functions right here. It's flagging on these two. So all we need to really do is change these around to be something different than the AVG or Symantec or McAfee is gonna find. And before we came here, we ran it through VirusTotal, and after these changes to it, it got through McAfee, Symantec, AVG, and Kaspersky. So those are pretty good ones out there to get around, right? So all we're gonna do here is we're gonna change this to move EBX instead of ESI. And then change this around to be move ESI to EBX. Just switching them around. And all we're going to do is follow and dump. We're going to save this file. So here's our reverse shell that we just saved, the new one, right? So we got reverse shell.exe. And we'll go to the DEF CON container folder real quick just to run a scan against it, just to make sure that was what I was in fact using. Malware detected. We go to our new one that we just wrote on the C drive. Malware not detected. Now, there's a bunch of different things you can do. I mean, this is really basic, but our tool automatically, gradually gets more and more complex as it goes along.
David Kennedy, the remote exploit high court has brought charges against you. Please stand to hear the charges.
Oh, God.
You have continuously posted links to
to a certain website. Would my judges please stand? We find you guilty, and we will now hold 11 parties!
Thank you, thank you. Actually, one got me in the side of the head there. That was Mutz, wasn't it? I don't know where I was at that point.
Dave, what's the lemon party?
All right, back onto our topic here. It's a game of bingo gone horribly wrong, so... All right, so we took a look at reverse shell IEC. Now we're going to look at NETCAT. What does NETCAT get flagged at? And like I said, it's really trivial to bypass these things at this point. And so what our tool is going to do at this point is the first one it found was instructions. You know, it jumped to a specific address, and all we had to do was change those two values around. Well, what happens if you have to do something different? So we're looking in our tainted folder here. We're going to look at NETCAT. Oh, and here, I'll just demo that the tool's actually working, too. I forgot to mention that. So, do reverse shell.exe, and we'll do, because, you know, if you rewrite something, a lot of times it doesn't work. So, we'll just do 444, 10.215.2.444. Bam. All right, so on the NETCAT side of things, you see here, it didn't find any instructions that it could change that AV was flagging on. But it was looking at immediate constants used by AV that's getting detected. So you look here, it's jumping to this specific address right here, 00401178. Well, there's also other instructions inside NETCAT that does that same jump. So what our tool automatically detected was, well, why don't we just rewrite this specific one as flagging on and move to another jump that is jumping to the same address? What is that going to do? Let's find out. And just so we know, we'll go to the DEF CON folder like we did before. Go to our tainted. Man, my head really hurts now. That was a good one. Someone was really angry at me.
At least it's smoky though.
Yeah, it smells like lemon now instead of a bunch of guys, so that's kind of nice. Okay, so we see here that the spyware was found. So what we're going to do is open up OWL again. Go to NETCAT, and we're going to go to that address that's specified there, which actually I already have that up there, so I need to do that. Not there. Where is that tool? All right, so we'll go through this one more time so I can see what actual address it is there. I totally forgot. The lemons, I swear. All right, so flagged on 00401178. All right, so right here you can see, the right one here? There we go. Oh, no, sorry. What was that? 00401178. That's just great. There we go. All right, so here we see MovieCX, and if you look at where it flagged on in NETCAT, it says that it flagged on jump short right here at offset 1137. So we go to 1137. You see here, it's jumping right here. So we need to find another one that's going to 1178 that we can just change around. So if you look here, we got another address right there that looks nice and tasty for us to use. So we're going to change that to 114C. Do the same thing we did last time. So we got our netcat.exe right here. No more AV. And again, these are all really basic attacks that you can do. I mean, there's, you know, polymorphic encryption and packers and all this crazy stuff out there you can do, and it will eventually do that if it does get flagged. But at this point, to be honest with you, there really isn't too much out there. It's not going to get flagged on in the simple steps because they pretty much suck. Sorry, if there's anybody out there from any of those companies, I apologize. Let me get this up here. What I'm going to do now is show you a couple little nice little functionality features of FastTrack that you guys can see out there. It's pretty neat stuff. It is on the Backtrack CD. You can also download it. I have written a Ubuntu installer for it, as well as a Gentoo installer, and also a vanilla installer. So if you're using, you know, something out there like Slackware or anything else, it automatically detects it and installs it for you. Oh, in addition to these attacks that we demonstrated here are no different on a Windows Server 2008 box using SQL Server 2008. We have successfully tested it on that as well, and we're actually able to get Interpreter to work no problem. So that was pretty cool, interesting find that we did see. So, you know, Server 2008, SQL Server 2008, not a big deal. All right, so what we're going to do is a little fast track here real quick. We use the GUI. And I can't use the GUI because I did write it, so don't catch me. I'm just using a Windows 2000 server because it's the only one that I didn't have unpatched at the time. But it does some pretty cool stuff. If you look here, here's my address, 55.6. You do things like, if anybody familiar with the autopwn feature in Metasploit, you know, you have to type in all those commands like dbcreate, you know, dbmap. So I kind of automated that real quick, and we'll just do a quick port scan of that. Port 135.445, 10.21.55.6. And all you do is hit enter. It's automatically going to do everything for you. Automatically port scan, since the host is down, so let me do a PN real quick. It's not finding any ports open. Does really work, I swear. Huh. All right, so we'll move on to SQL Brewer.
What's the SQL Brewer do, Dave?
So for those of you that are doing pen tests, our main point of entry when we go into companies, and it's so simple, is companies that, especially those that like load thin clients through SQL, they install the SQL Server 2000, 2005. They put blank passwords or really easily guessable passwords on port 1433.
The SA
Password is blank by default in 2000 and earlier, FYI.
So, I mean, what we do is we just do mass scans and fast track, and you can just do subnet ranges to test for these. And it looks for SA accounts, and automatically brute forces them, and it gives you shells back to them. So you can see here the following SQL servers were compromised. It found a blank password. Which one do you want to jump into? Jumps you into a shell. Now, if you're using SQL Server 2005, it automatically detects if it's disabled and re-enables the XP command shell for you and gets you full access back into it again. So gets you a full root compromise on that. Now, what's been incorporated into the new Metasploit, which is from Egypt, was the auto client pwn feature, where it sets up a fake web server for you, and then as soon as someone connects to you, it automatically starts running a brute force of exploits against the system. It's kind of like MPAC on steroids. And what we're working on here is, and it's going to be released in the next fast track version, is it automatically does, we wrote a custom EtherCAT filter, and what it does is it poisons all traffic going out 80, and then as soon as someone goes to browse the website, it automatically redirects to you, and it's doing a whole bunch of attacks against you. It should be pretty slick. So we're listening on our specific port, and what it's doing is it's loading the interpreter session right here. And so all we need to do is have someone connect to us on 80. And so, you know, in an EtherCAT type of attack, it would definitely do that. Is that my IP address? Slow. And everything breaks for the demonstration, so. Yeah, we are out of t-shirts, so yeah, that's our last one.
Who wants a lemon?
Yeah, who wants a lemon? No takers? Yes. All right, guys, that was it for us. I appreciate your time, and that's all we got. Thanks.
One last thing to mention. The SA Exploiter tool can be run on Linux, use Wine, Mono, something like that.
Right.
And, Dave, where can we get these tools?
So if you go to our main website, securestate.com, there's a free tool section on the very bottom there. It should be available tonight. And there we go. See that. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.